In the month of December 1964, Don Juan and I went to collect the different plants needed to make the smoking mixture. It was the fourth cycle. Don Juan merely supervised my actions. He urged me to take time, to watch and to deliberate before I picked any of the plants. As soon as the ingredients had been gathered and stored, he prompted me to meet with his ally again. Wednesday, January 27th, 1965. On Tuesday, January 19th, I smoked again the hallucinogenic mixture. I had told Don Juan I felt very apprehensive about the smoke and that it frightened me. He said I had to try it again to evaluate it with justice. We walked into his room. It was almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He brought out the pipe. I got the charcoals, then we sat facing each other. He said he was going to warm up the pipe and awaken her, and if I watched carefully, I would see how she glowed. He put the pipe to his lips 3 or 4 times and sucked through it. He rubbed it tenderly. Suddenly he nodded, almost imperceptibly, to signal me to look at the pipe's awakening. I looked, but I couldn't see it. He handed the pipe to me. I filled the bowl with my own mixture and then picked a burning charcoal with a pair of tweezers I had made from a wooden clothespin and had been saving for this occasion. Don Juan looked at my tweezers and began to laugh. I vacillated for a moment, and the charcoal stuck to the tweezers. I was afraid to tap them against the pipe bowl, and I had to spit on the charcoal to put it out. Don Juan turned his head away and covered his face with his arm. His body shook. For a moment I thought he was crying, but he was laughing silently. The action was interrupted for a long time. Then he swiftly picked up a charcoal himself, put it in the bowl, and ordered me to smoke. I counted 20 inhalations, and then the count did not matter any longer. I began to sweat. Don Juan looked at me fixedly and told me not to be afraid and to do exactly as he said. I tried to say all right, but instead I made a weird howling sound. It went on resounding after I had closed my mouth. The sound startled Don Juan, who had another attack of laughter. I wanted to say yes with my head, but I couldn't move. Don Juan opened my hands gently and took the pipe away. He ordered me to lie down on the floor, but not to fall asleep. I did not experience fear or unpleasantness during the state itself, nor was I sick upon awakening the next day. The only thing out of the ordinary was that I could not think clearly for some time after waking up. Then gradually, in a period of 4 or 5 hours, I became myself again. Wednesday, January 20th, 1965. Don Juan did not talk about my experience, nor did he ask me to relate it to him. His sole comment was that I had fallen asleep too soon. "The only way to stay awake is to become a bird or a cricket or something of the sort," he said. Sunday, February 7th, 1965. My second attempt in this, the fourth year of the cycle with the smoke, took place about midday on Sunday, January 31st. I woke up the following day in the early evening. I had the sensation of possessing an unusual power to recollect whatever Don Juan had said to me during the experience. I tried to narrate my experience to Don Juan. He said I had done nothing important. I mentioned that I could remember everything that had happened, but he did not want to hear about it. He had said that my body was disappearing and only my head was going to remain, and in such a condition the only way to stay awake and move around was by becoming a crow. He had commanded me to make an effort to wink, adding that whenever I was capable of winking, I would be ready to proceed. He said that my mouth and nose were going to grow between my eyes until I had a strong beak. He said that crows see straight to the side, and commanded me to turn my head and look at him with one eye. He said that if I wanted to change and look with the other eye, I had to shake my beak down, and that that movement would make me look through the other eye. I had no difficulty whatsoever eliciting the corresponding sensation to each one of his commands. I had the perception of growing bird's legs, which were weak and wobbly at first. I felt a tail coming out of the back of my neck and wings out of my cheekbones. The wings were folded deeply. I felt them coming out by degrees. The process was hard, but not painful. Then I winked my head down to the size of a crow, but the most astonishing effect was accomplished with my eyes, my bird sight. My eyes actually were capable of having a full view to the side. I could wink one eye at a time and shift the focusing from one eye to the other. Sunday, March 28, 1965. On Thursday, March 18th, I smoked again the hallucinogenic mixture. When I awakened, I was lying on my back at the bottom of a shallow irrigation ditch, immersed in water up to my chin. Someone was holding my head up. It was Don Juan. After a while, I was completely awake and got out of the water. "You must tell me all you saw," Don Juan said when we got to his house. He also said he had been trying to bring me back for 3 days and had had a very difficult time doing it. I made numerous attempts to describe what I had seen, but I could not concentrate. Later on, during the early evening, I felt I was ready to talk with Don Juan, and I began to tell him what I remembered from the time I had fallen on my side, but he did not want to hear about it. He said the only interesting part was what I saw and did after he tossed me into the air and I flew away. All I could remember was a series of dreamlike images or scenes. They had no sequential order. I had the impression that each one of them was like an isolated bubble, floating into focus and then moving away. They were not, however, merely scenes to look at. I was inside them. I took part in them. The last scene I remembered was three silvery birds. They radiated a shiny metallic light, almost like stainless steel, but intense and moving and alive. I liked them. We flew together. Don Juan did not make any comments on my recounting. The following conversation took place the next day after the recounting of my experience. Don Juan said, "It does not take much to become a crow. You did it, and now you will always be one." "What happened after I became a crow, Don Juan? Did I fly for 3 days?" "No, you came back at nightfall, as I had told you to." "But how did I come back?" "You were very tired and went to sleep, that's all." "I mean, did I fly back?" "I've already told you. You obeyed me and came back to the house. But don't concern yourself with that matter. It's of no importance." "What is important, then?" "In your whole trip, there was only one thing of great value. The silvery birds." Don Juan demanded that I think about them, about their number, direction of flight, if they had made any noise, at what time of day they came. He said, "All this will not mean a damn. It will be only a mad dream unless you remember correctly." I strained myself to recollect, but I could not. Saturday, April 3rd, 1965. Days passed, and slowly I was able to recall images of the silvery birds. From this, Don Juan was able to reconstruct the event and to decipher its meaning. "They will call you," he said. "And as they fly above your head, they will become silvery white. You will see them shining against the sky, and it will mean your time is up. It will mean you are going to die and become a crow yourself." "What if I see them during the morning?" "You won't see them in the morning. But crows fly all day. Not your emissaries, you fool." "Well, how about your emissaries, Don Juan?" "Mine will come in the morning. There will also be three of them. My benefactor told me that one could shout them back to black if one does not want to die. But now I know it can't be done. My benefactor was given to shouting and to all the clatter and violence of the devil's weed. I know the smoke is different because he has no passion. He's fair. When your silvery emissaries come for you, there's no need to shout at them. Just fly with them as you have already done. After they have collected you, they will reverse directions, and there will be four of them flying away."